Okay, so the sermon, the lesson, or whatever before we get to it, that was it. Right? Wow. I mean, what you and I just saw, what we witnessed, was discipleship. We saw discipleship. There's more right there. As they lead the way, leading, and we saw discipleship. We saw someone showing someone else how to do and be what they were doing and who they are in Christ. And we just saw it. I mean, it's amazing. Now, keep in mind too that the Lord has called us before he ascends to heaven, in what we affectionately know as the Great Commission. He's called us to make disciples. I mean, some of us are parents, some of us are grandparents, some of us are aunts and uncles, some of us are parents to be and parents in waiting and all that sort of thing. But he still called all of us to be disciple makers. It doesn't matter. You never check out of it. You know when you're done making disciples, when God stops your heart and you go to heaven or Jesus returns. That's it. Look, if you want to get me around it, you're more than welcome to. I mean, show me the loophole. I mean, show me the way around, you know, all of that and how Christ has set that up. I'd be glad to see it. Really, it lets us off the hook in so many different ways. Really. But what if what he says is to make disciples and then make another disciple? And a disciple who makes a disciple. I mean, someone who wants to be like you. Are there those people, you know, in your life and in my life, when they see your life and just go, I want to be like you? It's like, I don't want to be you, but I want to be like you and to have what you have. Because it's a very sad and tragic situation if there's people around us and no one wants to be like us. And why is that? So who do you want to be like? And who wants to be like you? And the Lord calls us to discipleship, to make disciples. Yeah, I mean, that's good. Let's be done. Let's beat the Methodists to lunch. we are going to look at what may be a familiar passage and an account and story for some of you. Maybe this is the first time. This is like driving me crazy. I don't know how David does it. I know, right? But this, my ear's done something. Oh, I did it that time. All right. We're going to look in Luke 19. Luke 19, we're going to look at the account of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Maybe one of the earliest stories. If you've been to church, if you grew up in church, you went to a vacation Bible school or something like that, you may have heard about this wee little man named Zacchaeus. If you're here, maybe you've hidden God's word in your iPhone or something like that. You can look it up there. If you're looking for a Bible and you need one, there should be one right in front of you in the seat underneath you. And it's on page 878, okay? I do know that. I did look that up. So 878 is where that account is. By the way, if you're here and you don't have a Bible, you're more than welcome to take that one. It's yours. Just go ahead and take it, and that is our gift to you, and we're happy for you to have that. So here's where we are. Zacchaeus in Luke 19, starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he, Zacchaeus, came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus, in verse 8, stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost. He came to seek and to save. Not just search and just go, "Oh, there you are," but there's a reason for the seeking. There's a reason for finding you. People say, you may hear all the time, "Oh, I found Jesus." "Oh, he found you first." He found you first. He sought you out. And not just to go, "Look at you, look how lost you are," but to rescue you, to save you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Interestingly enough, we don't ever see where this ends. Much like in making disciples, it continues until the end of time. So Jesus, alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father, is still seeking and saving the lost. He's choosing and decided to do that through you. As a Christian, as a believer in him, that he then lives again, he continues to seek to save the lost. Listen, I'll just go ahead and step on all of our toes, I mean, from the very beginning, and you're going to remember why I've not asked to do this very much, is the fact that there are some things within our life as a Christian that if you're not doing this, you're not fulfilled as a Christian. And if you think you're living this phenomenal, unbelievable, fantastic Christian life, but you're not about seeking and saving the lost, you're not living this great life that you think you are. You're just not. You can't be. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because we're not doing what it is that Jesus asks us to do, what he's doing. And then if he himself places his spirit inside of us, he lives again. So when you and I walk down the sidewalk, you know, and it's wet, you walk through a puddle, and then you walk on the sidewalk, I mean, those are the footprints of Christ. He's walking. He's doing this. It's what he did. He came, not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save what was lost. And so he's doing that again through those who believe in him and call on him to be saved. But if you and I, if we're not doing that, if we're not about that, if we're not engaged in that, and if we're not in his word and reading his word and reading his conversation to us, if we're not, praying as he prayed, at least wanting to do that, and you think, or I think, I've got this unbelievable, just great, rocking Christian life, I don't. I mean, it may seem that way, and I'm satisfied with what I have. But to lean in a little more, I mean, a whole nother world opens up. We see that in this guy, by the way. We see that in Zacchaeus. Jesus is entering Jericho as he's passing through. Now, you and I look at this, and we're going, as he's passing through, right? I mean, big deal with that. Why, it's a big deal. And not just in location. And Jesus is headed, towards another region and all that sort of deal. And like, what's he going to do there and all that sort of thing? But this phrase, like, as he was passing through, it's the Great Commission. He's living the Great Commission. Why? Because when Jesus says, "Go into all the world," right? And then Mark 16, which is written before Matthew, Mark 16 says, go and preach. This word go is this phrase, as you are going. As you're going. As he was going, as he was passing through, as he was on his way. It's the Great Commission. It's the word go. A lot of times, and rightfully so, we attach the Great Commissions to great missions endeavors. The Great Commission, so it's a sending thing. It's ascending. It is. Certainly. Of course. Yes. Going to all the nations. Starting with your own. Starting where you are. And then out this way. Right? And continue to go. This is what Jesus is doing as he is passing through. As he is going. It's the word that he uses in this great commissioning and the great sending out of those who believe in him and are called by him and call on him. He's sending out as he's going. There's reason. It shows intentionality. It shows purpose. We've talked in the youth ministry in the last couple of weeks about we're going to be strategic, we're going to be intentional, and we're going to be purposeful in those things. We want to know why the Lord has placed us where he's placed us. I mean, don't you? That your life is more than just, I happen to have a 9-to-5 job. I happen to do shift work at, at 3M or Kohler or whatever. Like, but what if it's more than that? What if it's more than that? You see, Jesus says, as he's going through, as he's passing along his way, you see, he has a destination. He knows destination. But there's stuff that he needs to do and to get done before he reaches destination. As he's passing through, so there's this guy, Zacchaeus. We don't know a lot about him, by the way. I mean, matter of fact, everything that we know about him is really in these 10 verses. He's a chief tax collector. This is the first time that this title is used. We see tax collector, a position used in other places in Scripture. We know Matthew is a tax collector, but Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. So all the tax collectors in the day, culturally, I mean, you really are kind of an enemy. The Romans used you to collect taxes for them, and whatever you wanted to put on top of that tax, that's up to you. Rome just says, we just want our cut. So it says, Rome says, hey, we want $10 out of every $100 that you make. A tax collector can come along and just go, hey, it's $15. They go, wait a second, but Rome only wants five. A tax collector can just go, yeah, but I want five. Roman wants 10, but I want five. And so they can put onto whatever they want. And you can't say no to them. You can't say no. Why? Because Rome still wants their taxes. So a chief tax collector would be someone who is in charge of other tax collectors. So it's like this great pyramid scheme or whatever, sort of a deal happening within this. Okay, thank you, Amway. I don't know if you need to do Amway. You can, whatever. So he's a chief tax collector. He's not a nice guy. People don't like him. People just don't like him. He is the IRS, right? Boo. He's the IRS. Nobody likes him. So he's a chief tax collector, and he's wealthy. He makes his money off the backs of those that he's collecting taxes from. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. He wanted to see who Jesus was out of curiosity. Out of curiosity. That he goes, oh man, I've heard about Jesus. Right? I mean, how can you not? I mean, he's been around for 18 chapters doing all kinds of stuff. Look at all of it. He's heard about him. He goes, I want to see this guy. I just want to see. But he couldn't. We don't know how tall he was. We just know that he was short. Which may be one of the reasons why he became a chief tax collector is like, hey, you're going to bully me growing up. You're going to pick on me. But that's fine. Now all of a sudden, he's boss. He's boss. So he wants to see Jesus, but he can't because he's too short. He's too short. But he wants to. So he ran ahead of where Jesus was going to walk, and he climbed a tree, a sycamore fig tree, to see him. He ran ahead. He got ahead of the crowd. Interestingly enough, the crowd, I mean, were so curious about seeing who Jesus was too, that Zacchaeus, he's trying to push his way through, and they won't let him through. I mean, he may be, you know, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, and they're like, no, this is Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to see him. And they tell him no. They won't let him through. I mean, he can't find his way through there. I mean, it is so packed in there. He can't get through. So he runs ahead. He runs ahead, and he climbs a tree. Now, keep in mind, too, he's a chief tax collector. He's a man of prominence, of wealth in the community, maybe even the region and all that sort of thing. And here he is climbing a tree. Climbing a tree. Why? Because he can't see. He just can't. It's not too far of a stretch, really. When we think about what we used to do as children, sometimes we would do what? Go and climb a tree. Right? Now take that and put it into the account whenever when children are rushing to Jesus and he's welcoming them, right? And disciples are going, whoa, it's Jesus. Back off. Everybody, take care of your kiddos, right? You know, where is that second session, you know, thing that should be happening, nursery? And so he's, you know, they're trying to push him away. And Jesus says, oh, no. Bring him on. Bring him on. He says, because to come to Christ, to come to believe in him, is to come as a child. Zacchaeus, in all of his prominence, like a child, is climbing a tree. Climbing a tree. Does he know all the answers? No. Is he curious? Yes. Does he think he's, you know, he's a big shot? Does he think he's somebody important? Yes. Does that matter to him right now? No. It doesn't. So he climbs this tree. Jesus was coming that way. He looks at him, right? Busted. He looks at him and he says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I'm going to come and we're going to have dinner at your house. I'm coming to hang out at your house. Beyond just seeing Jesus, now all of a sudden Jesus has engaged him. You know, the question then becomes for us was, who was seeking whom? Who was seeking whom in this? And was it, and some of you are impressed that I use the word whom correctly, right? Okay, right? Thank you. I had to say it in my head really slow, so that's why it took me a while. So who's seeking whom in this? You just go, oh, Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Oh, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus first. He sought him first. Why? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus is lost. And Jesus is looking for him. And he wants Zacchaeus to know that you've been found. You've been found. Some of what our family and friends and coworkers and people that we bump into, you know, at wherever, out around town or when we're passing through and things like that, they need to know that they have been found by a God who loves them deeply through Jesus. That they have been found, that they are not lost. That they're not lost. They've been found. You see, Jesus came to seek and save what was lost, and he's gone. I mean, he's back in heaven. He's ascended. There he lives again through you and through me. And so now all of a sudden, he's trying to get us to seek as well. To seek as well. To let people know that they have been found by Jesus. They have been found by a God who loves them deeply and sincerely and holding nothing back at all. So he calls him, Zacchaeus, come down. I have to stay at your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I would ask you this too, for me as well. I would ask us all of this. Because we show up here on Sunday mornings, and for whatever reason, you know, hopefully it's a good and righteous reason. And one thing we know is the Lord has brought us all here. My question is this: what does God need to do to take you a few steps more? What does God need to do? What do you need to hear for you to take a few steps more? You see, Zacchaeus goes to see Jesus. He can't get there because of the crowd and that sort of thing. He could have gone, "Oh, bummer, I can't see Jesus, I'm too short," and goes back home. But he goes further. He moves along. He does something else. He goes a few steps more. My question for us, I don't know if this is going to work, if I can come out here or not. My question for us is this. If I'm sitting here, thanks for that. That was the microphone. That wasn't me. That was the microphone, I promise. If we come to this place, right, and maybe week after week we show up, and here's where we sit or wherever it is, at some point, God is saying to you, and he's saying to me, take a few steps more. Take a few steps more. I mean, if you're living, and within your faith, if you are living it exactly the way that you have done for the past 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever. I mean, if it's exactly the same, there's been no change, there's been no challenge, there has been no urgency, there's been no pull to take a few steps more, I will say to you that there are big, big things waiting for you if you will. A few steps more. Take a few steps more. Like what, Rusty? Look, we have great small groups going on. I'm not. This isn't a whole, you know, big small group commercial that's happening. I promise you. But it's just in who we are in the life of the church. But there are great small groups that are happening. If it's just to show up on Sunday and you essentially kind of punch your card, you know, with God, and then you leave and then you come back, you know, the next Sunday for this time slot, what would happen if you went a little more? What would happen? You showed up. And we took food to Sunset Terrace, which we do once a month, and that sort of thing. And to meet with people, it's just so mind-blowing and just amazing how they minister to me whenever I go. They minister to me. I'm the one with food. They don't have any food. And so, and sometimes knocking on the door and go, lunch is. You knock on the door and go, lunch is, right? And to hear them on the other side of the door, I mean, wrestling around and going, one guy there, I love him, because we both like Def Leppard. And so knock on the door and go, lunches, and you hear him moving around and go, oh, yes, glory, praise God, hallelujah, right? He opens the door and he's like, oh, and he just goes, I don't have any food, right? And I'm standing there with food, you know, and the boys are with me or whomever. We have food. And how he ministers to me, how he doesn't know this. He doesn't understand this. But the Lord works, and how he is doing it, that through this guy who doesn't have any food, and I'm holding food, that the Lord is saying, Rusty, take a few steps more. Take a few steps more. And then you go to the next door. Right? And see how the Lord moves us, you know, to places where he wants to come in contact with us. And if you and I sit here and we just kind of go, look, man, it's been a while. And I can say this too. Sometimes, you know, just go through this dry spell. It's been a while since I've, man, had this really neat sort of intimate experience with the Lord. I mean, just me and him, and just the peace that passes all understanding and all that sort of thing. My question is it because you walked up to the crowd and it was too busy and it was just too much trouble to take a few steps more, so you turn around and go home? Meanwhile, Jesus passes by. A few steps more. And what's it look like? I don't know. For Zacchaeus, it was, I'm not going to let anyone, not just one person, but an entire crowd, maybe a whole little village, I'm not going to let anyone keep me from having an encounter with Jesus. I want him. I want to see him. And he would do whatever it takes to make that happen. And it caused him to go a little further, to do a little more. And go with people, you know, maybe you don't know how to do this. Maybe you don't know what it is about doing a little more or something like that. Maybe if it's a lunch thing, I'm telling you, go with Donnie. I mean, walk with her or Lonnie or whomever, and watch what they do, you know. I mean, what's it cost? Some dignity, some embarrassment, or whatever. I promise you, the only person embarrassed there is you. Nobody else is. When you and I come to a place, and maybe as we're passing by in our daily lives, as we are going and we're living out. By the way, you are living, breathing gospel message as a Christian. You know what the gospel message is? It's you as a Christian. If you've come to the point in your life where you believe in Jesus for salvation and he has rescued you and saved you, you are a gospel presentation. Living, breathing, walking around, gospel presentation. You are it. I don't know what to say. You've been saying it already, by the way. But how you live and what you do and what I do with my life, I'm already saying it. So whenever we just put words to those actions, they go, oh, that's what it is. So, he climbs ahead. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I have to stay at your house. We look at this, and this is, for us, we go, oh, well, Jesus, a little presumptuous, inviting yourself to someone's house. But what happens is, culturally, what's happening, this is very, very radical. I mean, it's radical. We know this even more so because the people are kind of going, whoa, this Jesus, we were thinking, like, he's way up here, what a great guy is, but maybe he's not so great anymore because he's staying at the house of a sinner, right? What happens culturally is this. This is a covenant people, right? So they are bound together. And so what we see in this is Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, literally, even though he says, Zacchaeus, come down, I have to stay at your house today, what he is saying, Zacchaeus, we are going to be friends. That's what he's saying. I mean, he just does it in a different cultural way when he invites himself to his house. And so we see this too with Jesus and the woman at the well. You know, and he's there, she walks up, he says, woman, give me a drink. She goes, whoa, how can you, a Jew, a man, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Because he's not just asking for a drink of water, he's asking for friendship. He goes, hey girl, let's be friends. Maybe in a loose translation. He goes, let's be friends. She goes, wait a second. How is it that you, a man, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, to be my friend? That's what's going on. That's what's happening culturally within all this. So whenever he says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, come down because we're about to be friends like you have never had one before, I promise you. To stay at his house. And then I love this. Jesus says, come down. He didn't go, listen, come down when you want to. I'll stick around. I'll heal some folks over here. Take you a while to get down. People help him down, whatever, that sort of thing. He goes, come down immediately. And then all of a sudden, in verse 6, so he came down at once. So he came down at once. An old sort of cliche, and, you know, it's sometimes the cliches are true. and this is one of them. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If he says, come down right now. He doesn't go, in a minute, Jesus. But listen, I never get to see the top of people's heads because I'm really short. And this is kind of cool. I really enjoy this tree. This is phenomenal. I love being up here. I may set my office up here and that sort of thing. Build a tree house. Right? He doesn't do that at all. He says, right now, Zacchaeus, do this. He goes, okay, here we go. To tell Jesus to wait, he's like, no. Especially when Jesus says, no, do this. Lean in. Come a few steps more. Came down once, welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, began to mutter, it's going to be the guest of a sinner. Listen, when you and I, when we go a few steps more, when we do whatever it takes to have this encounter with Jesus, and he does something, in our lives, because he has sought us out and he saves us, people are going to talk. In this case, they talk badly. They begin to mutter about it. Oh, not just talking about Zacchaeus, but now talking about Jesus. And you can expect it. It's just going to happen. But there are the great passages too, and we looked at some in our Life Connection class today, in the Acts 2 church, that they were living their lives, they were being together as a church, and it says, and all the people were amazed at what Jesus was doing through this group of people. They're amazed, blown away. And because of that, the Lord was adding to their number. There are times when people are going to talk about you. I love this in verse 8. It says, but Zacchaeus, right? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, people are going to talk. You want to go, just wreck your life. Just try and go and fix all that. They're going to talk anyway, saying all this stuff or whatever. But Zacchaeus, man, is lasered in on Jesus. He's focused on Jesus. Any surprise that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus, not on the crowds, not on culture, not on family, not on whatever. It's like, let's fix our eyes on Jesus first and let people say what they want. Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. Good, because Zacchaeus is probably one of the reasons why they are poor. And if I have cheated, that is really a terrible joke. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, has he? Of course he has. I'm going to pay back four times the amount. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, people are still talking. Jesus doesn't talk to them. Says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Interesting too that Jesus calls Zacchaeus Zacchaeus. How do you know his name? We don't know. Other than Jesus created Zacchaeus. He's the creator. He knew Zacchaeus already. Right? He says, salvation has come to this place. Being saved. He was saved. And Jesus says, this has happened because this is why I exist. This is why I am here, to seek and to save the lost, to find you even when you don't think you're looking for me, and to rescue you. To rescue you. And for some, just as we finish up, the question for us is this: what's a few steps more? What would it look like to take a few steps more? some time. I mean, some uneasiness, some awkwardness, some you don't know what's next. Even if it's in salvation, if you're here today and you never started and have a relationship with Jesus, you go, I don't know. I don't even know what that looks like on the other side. God himself says, hey, just try it. Just listen. God says, just give me a shot. Give me a shot. And you'll see. You'll see. It's a life like no other. And for some of us, maybe it's this whole idea that we're just going through the motions. And at some point, God says, okay, it's time to lean in. It's time to go a little more in what that looks like. You go, I don't know what that looks like. What if God says, it's okay, I do. I know what it looks like. If you'll focus on me, we'll walk this thing together. We're already there. As Charlie and the band, you know, come back, and just something for all of us to think about, quite honestly. I mean, really, me too. What does a few steps more, what does leaning in, I mean, what would I do? What would I do to get close to Jesus? What am I willing to do? What am I willing to do? Because I already know what God's willing to do to have a relationship with me. He sacrifices his son. He allows him to be offered up and killed in a terrible way. I already know what God's willing to do. But for me, maybe for you, the question is, what am I willing to do? And for some, look, some of us at a time I just kind of go, I'm just not willing to do it. Okay. You know, for now. But God is still seeking you. He still wants that. So in our time of invitation, it's just that. I'm just asking for you and for me just to respond, you know, to what we've heard and what we've seen today. And if that means, you know, stepping out and walking down the aisle and just kind of going, look, I'm full on boogie with Jesus. I don't even know what that all means, but I know I don't have him and I want him. Or maybe it's an evaluation of our own lives and where we are, just kind of going, I want to take a few steps more. As great even as my walk is with Christ, I want more. And maybe that happens right where you are. This altar is open. You're welcome to come down and pray and just, quite honestly, just offer yourself. I mean, here I am, Lord. You know? But I would challenge each of us to not walk out of here not having had an encounter with Jesus. So let's stand. Father, thank you for this day, this time, this moment for us to be challenged by your word. There's a reason why this account of Zacchaeus is in your word, and for us to look at and to see ourselves in the story and where we are in it. Father, we thank you that your son came to seek to save what was lost. And we all are either lost or we have been lost before. And so we know what that feels like. So even in this time, Lord, it's yours for you to be who you are in our lives individually and corporately as a church, for you to have your way, that you challenge and encourage us to take a few steps more, to lean in a little more, to go a little farther. We pray and we ask all this because of Jesus and in his name. Amen.